good article that explains in almost baby talk what vaccines are, you know. And it says, vaccines are injections of material that contained weakened amounts of the disease germ that they are meant to protect against. They're said to work by causing the formation of antibodies, which are proteins that defend the body from an invasion by harmful germs. Orthodox medicine contends that we can only be absolved from the peril of infection by vaccination, which involves injecting into the system infectious material which is supposed to confer lifelong immunity, hence the term immunization. You notice too, they want you to get boosters every other year now, eh? Vaccinations are now mandatory in order for a student to enter school. Any child who is not vaccinated is not allowed into school with a reason given that the child will put all the other children at risk for disease, which is nonsense. When I said years ago, if the rest of them have all had vaccinations, they should be immune to whatever you've got, if you've got anything at all. However, it's important to ask this question. If all the other children are vaccinated, and they go into that in fact, how could an unvaccinated child put any of these other children at risk? Only the child himself could be at risk for the disease, and that should be the business of that particular child and his or her parents. It should be virtually impossible if vaccinations actually work for an unvaccinated child who may get a particular disease to give it to other children who have been vaccinated. But in fact, vaccinations don't work. They're not effective. They don't give immunity. In addition, they're very dangerous. Alarming observation comes from a London practitioner of excellent reputation and long experience, Dr. Hubert Snow, senior surgeon at the Cancer Hospital of London, and he voices concern. He says, in recent years, many men and women in the prime of life dropped dead suddenly. Now, this is awfully, awfully important, this part here. Often after attending a feast or a banquet, I'm convinced that some 80% of these deaths are caused by the vaccinations they have undergone. They are well known to cause grave and permanent disease to the heart. Now, I think if you remember, about 2 weeks or so ago, I mentioned about a person I know that's a heart and lung specialist, uses organ donators and so on. And he says they won't take hearts under 25. For transfer. It says because even though the blood vessels leading to the heart and from the heart are clean and everything else is good, the hearts of people over 25 or so, 26, some cases 27, have multiple tiny ruptures in them. Tiny ruptures and infarctions, they call them. So this guy is touching on something that is pertinent to that too. To this very thing, he says, convinced that some 80% of these deaths are caused by vaccinations that were undergone. It's well known to cause grave and permanent disease to the heart. Because people at 25 shouldn't be having little infarctions all across their heart. It's a mess. Another practitioner, Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana, says that cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced. I've had to deal with at least 200 cases of cancer, and I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Yet the government has mandated compulsory vaccinations. Most people trust vaccines to be safe and effective. The government is mandating children to be vaccinated earlier and earlier ages, when they're very fragile and far more vulnerable to the introduction of foreign materials into their tiny bodies. Not only that, very young children don't have immune systems that will copy anything to fight it. So there's something else at work here. This polio is virtually non-existent in the US today. However, there's no credible scientific evidence that the vaccine caused polio to disappear. Before the Salk polio vaccine was introduced in 1953, the polio death rate in the US had already declined by 47% on its own. It had also declined by 55% in England. Other European countries also showed a similar decline. When the vaccine did become available, many European countries questioned its effectiveness and refused to inoculate their citizens, yet polio epidemics also ended in those countries without the vaccine. So, the number of reported cases of polio after mass inoculations with the vaccine was significantly greater than before mass inoculations. And in many states, the incidence of polio more than doubled after inoculations were introduced. In Rhode Island, there was a 450% increase after the vaccinations. And in Massachusetts, almost 650% increase in polio cases after the introduction of polio vaccinations. After the vaccine was introduced, cases of polio were often reported under another name, aseptic meningitis. I've said that for years. You understand, that's really what they did. Once, oh, it's been working. See, there's no more. It's just like the radiation thing, you know, and the levels of radiation, oh, the half it and see it's safe. They basically said polio doesn't exist anymore. We've cured it. And then, of course, the same symptoms crop up, and you've got, they call it meningitis or encephalitis. It says, rather than polio, even though they were counted as polio before the vaccine was introduced. In 1976, Dr. Jonas Salk, creator of the killed virus vaccine that was used throughout the 1950s, testified that the live virus vaccine produced by Dr. Sabin, which was used almost exclusively in the U.S. since the early 60s, was the principal, if not the sole cause, of all reported cases of polio in the United States since 1961. According to the Centers for Disease Control figures, 87% of all cases of polio in the U.S. between 73 and 1983 were caused by the vaccine. It's now admitted that since 1979, virtually every case of polio in the United States has been caused by the vaccine. It's the same thing the UN just reported. They're giving all these shots across the world. And in Africa and in Nigeria, of course, they've got a new type of polio. It's much quicker to attack as well. It caused all the symptoms. But it was caused by the United Nations, the World Health Organization, giving out all these vaccinations with a live virus, actually, which has caused a super virus now. The same situation holds true for nearly all other diseases, including diphtheria, measles, rubella, mumps, and whooping cough. In virtually all of these diseases, the incidence was dropping dramatically before the introduction of the vaccine. And since the introduction of the vaccine, close to 100% of all cases of the disease are in individuals who have been vaccinated for that particular disease, proving clearly that vaccinations are not effective, and they often cause the very disease they are supposed to prevent. They cause a lot more than that, massive arthritis, and yet we have juvenile arthritis rampant after all the shots. Never had that before. No one had it. And folk who are in their 30s and 40s coming down with chronic rheumatoid arthritis. It's not a mystery as to why vaccinations are not effective. First, the natural immunity mechanism in the human body is designed to work when the disease develops in its natural way. Well, sure. I mean, it's, if you suddenly change a diet, and you know about 40% of the folk who are white are allergic to rice. They've all these symptoms and problems with their bowels if they eat the rice, but they don't put it down to that. They don't know what caused it, generally. But the medicals do. Because you didn't come up through thousands of years eating rice in the West, you see. When the normal route of immune system stimulation is bypassed by injection of the microorganism, bacteria or virus, through the skin, then effective immunity against the disease does not develop. One obvious factor proving that vaccinations are not effective is that an individual has to keep getting booster shots. If a person develops polio, measles, mumps, whooping cough, or any other contagious disease, he has virtual lifelong immunity from one episode of the disease. But when an individual is vaccinated, he must keep getting booster shots at regular intervals. The booster shots are necessary, they say, because vaccinations don't work. They're not effective, and neither are the boosters. Actually, the boosters acts like your first shot acts like cocking the trigger and the hammer of a gun. And it's often when these boosters are given that sometimes years later that it sets it off and a whole bunch of problems hits the person almost immediately within 2 weeks. And they know this at the top too. But they know all the nasty stuff it causes the public, and a lot of stuff they won't tell the public is nasty as well that causes. But they're not going to change. I really think there's more to it than that, because this ties in with depopulation and sterility. I have no doubt on this at all, personally, myself. That's my own personal opinion. But it says here, one of the earliest vaccines introduced for general use in the U.S. was a pertussis vaccine for whooping cough, which was put into general use during the 1940s. Autism, a form of childhood schizophrenia, characterized by mental retardation, muteness, and an inability to speak, lack of responsiveness to human contact, was not known or described, it says here, until 43, about the same time that vaccinations were introduced. In addition, monitors placed in infants who have been vaccinated show severe alterations in breathing patterns after the DBT, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus shot. A precise breathing monitor called CotWatch was used in a special study of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and the children's breathing patterns were measured before and after DBT vaccination. The data clearly demonstrates that vaccination caused an extraordinary increase in episodes where breathing nearly ceased or actually stopped completely. And here they are walking parents up, oh, you must have caused that to happen. Been doing that for years. And this is reality. And then you think all the doctors are nice and clean. Well, vaccine doctors was given at least $30 million to push vaccines. It says Dr. Paul Offit of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia earned at least $29 million as part of a $182 million sale by the hospital of its worldwide royalty interests in the Merck Rotatec vaccine. The amount of income distributed to Offit could be as high as $46 million. Offit has refused to say how much he made from the vaccine. The high price placed on the patient at the patents raises concerns over Offit's use of its former position on the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices to help create the market for rotavirus vaccine. They make the market, folks, by the newspapers, you know, oh my God, you know, everybody's terrified this disease may be coming, say specialists. And then, of course, they pay these guys to really flog it to their patients in hospitals. Offit's claim to a share of the profits from Rotatec revenues is based on his role as listed inventor on the cluster of patients that protect Merck's vaccine. Paul Offit has a great personal interest in Rotatec's commercial success, and more than any other individual in the world, he found himself in a position to directly influence that success. Unlike most other patented products, the market for mandated childhood vaccines is created by the recommendation of an appointed body, the ACIP. So Offit was a member of the ACIP for years. He was a member of the body that thing went. So he got millions of dollars off it. Back with more after this.